French Christ, peace to you on this Easter octave day. We're in the octave of Easter, the 8 days following the resurrection of our Lord that we celebrate on Easter Sunday. And this is a great gift because we're called to contemplate the reality of the resurrection for a long time. Lent is 40 days long. The Easter season is 50 days long. We need to contemplate the reality of the resurrection because it changes everything for us. My advice to you is to make sure that you're praying the Gospels of these days. Go to the readings for Mass and pray with the Gospel for each day. You'll learn something about the resurrection. Most importantly, you'll meet the risen Lord contained in the Scriptures. So I'm going to preach from the Gospel from Tuesday of the Octave of Easter. It is the passage that comes from John 20, 11 to 18. John 20, 11 to 18. I'd encourage you to go back and pray with it. I know you'll encounter things there that are much more profound than anything I'm going to share today. It's the great story of Mary Magdalene waiting and weeping at the tomb of our Lord. Mary Magdalene is one of my absolute favorite saints, a woman who deeply loved the Lord, who was unashamed in her love for Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus was the one who saved her from many things, and certainly her spiritual slaveries. He cast 7 demons out of her and freed her heart. And what she did with that freedom was profound. She used her freedom to be close to Jesus always. She was with him in his ministry, but she was also with him in the moments when almost everyone else fled. Mary is there with our Blessed Mother and with John the Apostle at the foot of the cross. She was there. She was unashamed to be with him. She was unafraid of being associated with him. She had latched the whole of her life onto Jesus Christ. And so in that, she's a great example for us and a great intercessor for us to give us courage. Mary at the foot of the cross, but also Mary Magdalene wanting to be with Jesus even in his death. And so after Jesus is buried, Mary returns to the tomb. And there's something so profound and beautiful in that deep desire. Of course, what she finds surprises her. The stone has been rolled away and Jesus is not there. Understandably, she thinks that someone has come and taken the Lord. So she thinks that the one that she loved the most has been truly taken from her, not just in life, but now also even in death. And so she weeps. And that grief is so profound and understandable. We can't blame her. She didn't know Jesus was going to rise from the dead. She didn't know what that would look like. So her grief is very real and true. It also shapes everything about what she experiences. And I'll come back to that in a bit, because the grief that she experiences becomes the lens through which she sees everything, and she can't see anything beyond the grief. So, as she is weeping, she sees 2 angels sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. They're in the tomb. She doesn't know who they are, but she doesn't see them as angels. She doesn't see them for who they really are. And that's partly because her grief has overwhelmed her. So they say to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." See, she can't see the beautiful truth of the resurrection yet, and again, completely understandable. But she cannot recognize that there's something more going on even in the midst of her grief, that her grief isn't final, that it doesn't have the only thing to say about what her experience of this reality is. And furthermore, she doesn't just not recognize the angels, but as John goes on, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, She saw Jesus, but did not know it was him. The one that Mary wanted to be with the most, Jesus, is actually with her. In this profound moment of confusion and grief, Jesus is there. And Jesus himself then says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." Once again, Jesus asking the great question, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? Because the one she was looking for has actually sought her out. The one she wanted to be with the most wants to be with her the most. He conquered sin, he conquered death to be with her. She thinks he's the gardener, which, by the way, is a beautiful detail. It's not just a throwaway line. The first Adam was a gardener. Jesus is the new Adam. And when she mistakes him as the gardener, she's actually speaking a beautiful truth. Jesus is the new Adam. And what the first Adam didn't do, sacrifice himself to save his bride, the new Adam does sacrifice himself to save his bride, the church, and to bring new life. And so Jesus is appropriately called a gardener. He's making all things new. Mary asks him to tell her where Jesus is, and then the beautiful detail. And what a great gift that we have this, such a human moment. Jesus said to her, "Mary." Jesus speaks her name. And in that speaking of her name, then she recognizes him. What a great detail. We'll know Jesus, the risen Lord, when he speaks our name to us. And friends, I want to ask you to really pray about that. In this time of Easter, even in the midst of all the struggles and the sufferings and the uncertainties of what we're going through as a world, there's a need to create space in your soul to listen to the Lord as he speaks your name to you. He does it for each one of us. He speaks our name to us. And when we hear our name from the risen Lord, we will know who we really are called to be. And we will know the Lord. And then everything changes. See, because he calls us out of the grief and worry and fear that are marked by hopelessness and despair. That's what Mary experienced first. Jesus calls us out of that. And then, of course, he calls us into his life, the risen life, the life of the resurrection. And friends, that is not meant to be just lived once we get to heaven, but the resurrected life, knowing the risen Lord and knowing his life within us, is meant to be experienced here and now. And if we don't experience it here and now, we've missed the great gift of proclaiming that we are Christians, of being grafted onto the one whose sin and death, who despair and worry, fear and hopelessness has no power over. Jesus is victor, and he wants us to also be victorious in this. You know, we can say that, yes, the world is difficult and this particular time is challenging. There is grief. There is suffering. There is fear. And yet, if we know the risen Lord, the way we face death, suffering, fear, anxiety is completely transformed because we know the one who conquers those things. We know that the final word in our life is one of life. It's his life. Life that death has no power over. Love that cannot be conquered by anything in this world. And that gives us a great amount of freedom. It gives us a great amount of joy. That's what Easter is all about. It's a great reflection I read just the other day from Mother Elvira Petrozzi. And she said, Easter is, quote, the feast of feet that run. Isn't that a great line? Easter is the feast of feet that run. She says, everyone arrives at the tomb tired, sad, and disappointed, and they leave running. So friends, as we journey together in these days, as we keep each other in prayer, know that the risen Lord is truly with you. He wants us to run with the certain joy of the resurrection, to not be tired and sad and disappointed, but rather to be lighthearted, to be full of joy, even in the midst of the difficulties of this world, to run with the good news that he is risen, that he has conquered sin and death. And also, please, my prayer for you and for myself is that we would have the grace, receive the grace of hearing the risen Lord call us each by name. Nothing better could happen in our lives than to hear him tell us who we are. That happened in St. Mary Magdalene's life. It certainly can happen in ours. May she pray for us, and may we keep us all in prayer. And God bless.